Pope Francis has called on all Christians to intensify prayer and cooperate in the service of the gospel. In a letter to the participants of the 10th General Assembly of the World Council of Churches, currently taking place in Busan, South Korea, Pope Francis told the assembly all Christians are called to reach out to those who find themselves in the existential peripheries of our societies and show particular solidarity with the most vulnerable of our brothers and sisters, the poor, the disabled, the unborn and the sick, migrants and refugees, the elderly and the young who lack employment. Dr. Anne-Marie Meyer is a professor of theology at the University of Leuven in Belgium and the representative of the Catholic Church to the WCC. She spoke to Philippa Hitchin about the importance of this General Assembly, which only happens every 7 years.
Well, you need to understand that the WCC is actually not just the headquarters in Geneva. Actually, the main thing of the WCC are its member churches. And an assembly is the only event every 7 years when all these member churches come together, they send their delegates, and they take time, they take almost 2 weeks to sit there to reflect what have we been doing during the last 7 years, what was the mandate, were we faithful to this mandate, what was the outcome, can we harvest some of the fruits. It's really a deliberation and a reflection going on, and the main scope of this is how should we go forward? Because the end of one period, of one mandate, is of course the beginning of a new one. So it's a kind of looking back in a perspective oriented to the future.
The last assembly was 7 years ago in Porto Alegre in Brazil, wasn't it? Can we just say in a few words what was the mandate? What has been the focus over the past 7 years?
Well, first of all, the focus was to try to listen to the needs of the member churches. What would they need from a body that was a kind of, well, not a super church, but a kind of umbrella body that would offer a forum for discussion, a forum for joint action, where this could be discussed beforehand, and then decisions could be taken to help to implement this call of proclaiming the gospel on a worldwide scale, but from different angles and so many different churches. So there were different ways of implementing that. Actually, the so-called programs of the World Council of Churches, they comprise, let's say, at least two different approaches. One approach is from a very practical angle. What can we do together as churches who are based on what is called the basis of the World Council of Churches, confessing the Trinitarian faith and recognizing each other as churches? Although it doesn't mean that if a church becomes a member church of the World Council of Churches, it automatically recognizes the understanding of other churches, how they understand themselves to be a church. So this already indicates that the question, what does it mean to be a church? What does it mean to be the church of Jesus Christ? The church that proclaims the gospel, the church that is sent to the world to make people aware even nowadays that there is perhaps a little bit more to the meaning of life than just economics or the normal everyday sorrows and causes that keep you going. What does it mean to be a church then today?
There's been an important document, hasn't there, over the past year that's come up on exactly this subject. What does it mean to be a church?
Exactly. It's called The Church, not just a church, but then the subtitle is still Towards a Common Vision. It's a convergence document. Now, a convergence document means that all the different member churches that are represented in that commission that drafted the text, which is the Commission of Faith and Order, that these member churches are trying to understand, to reach a common understanding, actually, of what it means to be the church. And they say in this document, we are on the way. We made a huge step forward by at least agreeing that we have reached a convergence so that we come closer to each other. But they say we are not yet there. We don't have the 100% agreement yet.
So this is the first area of discussion. The second is focused very much on mission, isn't it? On practical ways of being church today.
Exactly. Actually, there are these two commissions in the World Council of Churches. The one we just were dealing with, faith and order, and this is more the doctrinal issues. But then there is a commission which would be more related in terms, if you shape it in terms of theological subjects, it would be more the practical theology. And that's also a highly ecumenical subject, because if the different member churches of the World Council of Churches go out to proclaim the gospel, of course they might encounter members of other churches doing the same. And that is actually what happened, let's say, during the age of colonialization, that in certain parts of the world where the gospel had not yet been proclaimed, they would sort of compete with each other. And that actually wouldn't do any good, because it undermines the credibility of the preaching and of proclaiming the gospel. So that actually sparked off the whole modern ecumenical movement. So in 1910, there was a big gathering. It was a world mission conference for the first time in the history of the church, actually. Different mission bodies were gathering and were actually discussing this very question, whether it was any good to be competitors, or whether it would be competitive, or whether it would be not much better to join forces and try to walk this way towards proclaiming what they used to say in those days, the whole gospel to the whole world together.
That was 100 years ago in Edinburgh, Scotland, really the beginnings of the modern ecumenical movement. Today, there is still much controversy in this area, and a document you've come up with this year is still highly controversial, isn't it?
Well, it's still a highly contented issue, right. But there have been real agreements achieved. So it's actually in this context, you could almost speak of a consensus document, because there it's with this document, it's actually called Together Towards Life, and its subtitle could be the mission statement or the mission declaration, the mission affirmation of the World Council of Churches, because it was drafted by just one commission, this Commission on World Mission and Evangelism. But at a meeting which took place in 2012, in Crete, the World Council of Churches adopted this text as its own mission statement. So with the text on faith and from faith and order on the church, that still remains the text of this particular commission, the Faith and Order Commission, and the convergence of these 120 commission members, who, of course, represent their churches, but the member churches of the World Council of Churches, they are 349. So not every church has a representative in this body of faith and order. Now, with the Commission on World Mission and Evangelism, there it's actually just about 30 commissioners, so even less representation. But since during the meeting in Crete, the text was adopted as, after reading, after discussing, after even changing, making a few little changes, as a text of the World Council of Churches. This means this text is actually backed up by all the 349 member churches. And that's really a kind of consensus. Although, in terms of content, just to hint a little bit at the things that are still discussed. First of all, the question is, who is the agent of mission? Who is the subject? Who does it? Is it the different churches? Are they the promoters of mission? Are they doing it? And there, the theological reflection already back in the 1950s urged the World Council of Churches and the Special Commission on World Mission and Evangelism to say, no, it's actually not our mission. It's God's mission. God sends us to proclaim the gospel. So it's Missio Dei. It's actually modeled along the sending of the Father sends the Son, and together they breathe the Holy Spirit. They send the Spirit to the world. Things like that is the model for how we as human beings can conceive of the mission that we are called to by God. The next question would then, of course, be, are these individuals called to proclaim the gospel, or where does the church come in? Does it always need to be a community of believers that is involved? Is there a kind of mediating function of the church and things like that? How would unity and church and mission go together? So church unity and mission, would it have to be actually this very question from the very beginning of 1910, would it have to be just one church proclaiming the one gospel to the whole world? Or could it be different churches from different angles looking at the same gospel, trying to proclaim that? And that's the model which the World Council of Churches in the end chose to go for.